will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you.
African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family, Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Papa Oshi. Hotel family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a great weekend, the first weekend of Black August. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather was accommodating for you to do it. And I don't know. Other parts of the country still tripping, and they always will. But Atlanta tripping too, because it's 70 something degrees with very low humidity. Man, I had to turn that air off. Save some dough, you know, bro. Yeah, but it'll last a couple of days. It'll be back up in 80s and into the 90s again, of course, because this is August. You know, yeah, Black August. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. Then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Our story every Monday and Wednesday. Every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny. Our story. On Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursdays with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. Sunday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney with activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. On Sunday from 5 to 6. And then at 7 p.m., that's right, family, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Man, got to do something about that. Shucks. Comes on periodically, you know, and the throat is scratchy and everything like that. I don't know, gotta get some lozenges. I know my baby's listening, and she'll be like, "Man, I'll get some for this man." All right, I appreciate her, man. I do. Where am I at? See, she got me discombobulated. That's right. I'm blaming it on you. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is We Buy Black. .com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses as WeBuyBlack.com, because you understand and you know, if we don't support each other, who will? Come on, family. Damn. If we don't support one another, there's so many cases, so many situations and incidents of us not supporting each other, to the point that those things that we created for support for one another, they turn into something else, or they go out, or they're torn down or whatever, because of lack of support from us. To me, we're not asking for general support. I know there's some things that you create and you like to have, you know, everybody supported. You want all the dollars. I understand. But there's some things that we specifically, it is for our community, and they must support it. Even though there's others outside of our community that have different ventures, or some of the ventures that are pretty much the same. But still, we should get that support. We should get that support. Man, family. Africa for the Africans. Brother Omani Tahimba, African for the Africans. And I know how important it is with this brother and all that he does. Africa for the Africans. Mm-hmm. I apologize. You know what? I didn't bring them up. I didn't. I'm derelict. Africa for the Africans. He has a trip upcoming. And to me, very affordable. And I know some who have gone on those trips. I know Brother Irv went to Senegal and Gambia, you know. And I think what Brother Bomani does is commendable. You know, he has a trip coming up in November, November 1st to December 1st. And that's going to be in Tanzania, February 12th to the 23rd, 2026, Liberia, April 1st to April 13th, 2026, in Kemet, June 10th to June 22nd, 2026, Ghana, October 1st to October 12th, 2026, Kenya, November 9th to November 30th, 2026, Azania. He's pretty, that's what, one, two, three, four, five trips next year. And then Tanzania again, April 1st to April 12th, Tanzania. And June 10th to June 22nd, 2027, Ghana. And of course, some future trips he has, September 30th to October 11, 2027, Kenya. And November 18th to November 29th, 2027, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Yeah, it's a great trip. Once again, on the site, you can buy land. And, of course, you can look at the repatriation part. You can come back to our, you know, to the continent. Not necessarily to Ghana or whatever, but how to do it. And so, and everything that you need, all the documents that you need, all the things, all the shots and so forth, all of it's right here for Africa, for the Africans. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to give Brother Bomani a call, he's still in town. 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. That's right, family. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated.org. That's right, Habashah Incorporated.org. These brothers and sisters of Habashah. And Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Yeah. Organic Fest, I believe, is coming up again. And but the programs that Habashah brings to the community involving Habashah Works, Black Tar Roots, Golden Grower, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that has been completed now in Ghana, that needs you to definitely look at in Ghana. So HabashahIncorporated.org. Yeah. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. You know, Brother Peter Brown, the Ledge Group, you know, he has been very instrumental in doing great work on the continent. Great work. The Ledge Group. They have 12 different projects and six different countries on the continent,
170 employed, over 170 employed, and over 260 as members. They deal in the four areas of human necessity, of human essentiality, and that is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Brothers and sisters, support the LEDS group for land, for the environmental development, for group economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Brothers and sisters, go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. The Minister of Wellness. He is a brother, I tell you, that deserves to be supported. Theministerofwellness.com. The Moses West Foundation, and I can't say enough. I talked to Brother Paulo the other day, and Brother Moses West is safe, and he's doing great. And the young brother, Brother Brown, with his technology and his invention. Yeah, so, you know, once you do something and you become a threat to how instead of being competitive, and you know, I understand that, but taking it to the extreme to kill somebody, to eliminate them, but that's the American way. That's the European way. That's the Caucasian. That is Urugu. We'll get off into that. So, the Moses West Foundation. Access to water is fundamental to life and prosperity. Serving as a cornerstone for public health, economic development, and sustainability of our global ecosystem. That's what the Moses West Foundation does. And it's even asking for small. I like to help the transaction of fees. $1.86 for my donation. Making this donation monthly. $1.86 monthly. Please. But that's what they're trying to do. Because, I mean, imagine if 500,000. Imagine if 1 million. There's 40 million of us in this country, supposedly. 40 million. Yeah. 25% is what? 10 million. Yeah. Okay. Look, let me see what we're going to do. Let me see where we at. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Bijah's got it going on, family. He's not open today. He's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And he has, you name it, he has it. If you ever had an opportunity to go to Macon, and if you can, you have the time to stop at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Check out Brother Bijah. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. They also have a vegan restaurant on the premise. So if you're shopping, because they got oils and health products, beauty products, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, jewelry, clothing, fashions, furniture. Yeah. And a vegan restaurant on the premise, too. So check out Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. I live right down the street from it. That's right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, which is right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, an area that community that is being seriously gentrified. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. But Wadada's going to hang in there like the others. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar on Ralph David Abernathy. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The Medu Bookstore. And Mama Nia. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. Because if you're looking for a book, because she got fine books. She got fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, gift certificates, figurines, and so much more. Give a call at 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, which is going to move, and it may have moved already. Hopefully, maybe the phone number is the same. I had to call Brother Kazemde Ajamu, see what the deal is. I know they're supposed to be moving in the same area at Stonecrest. The number is 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There's light in the black dot. I think even changed the name. Okay. In the green, in, excuse me, Stonecrest, mall near it is the new Black Wall Street. It's an old Target and they reconfigured it to the new Black Wall Street. One of the entities of the new Black Wall Street that's still holding on is Afroletics. Afroletics. They have apparel that is designed with African-centered people. They got the Dogon Starseed. They got Heru. They got the Moors. They got the Olmecs. They got the Zulus. Oh, man, they got it all. I'm telling you, it's cool equipment. Hats, jerseys, pants, jackets, you name it. Afroletics. Sanjay-Aiti.org. Sanjay-Aiti.org. Sister Gabby, who's done an outstanding job of working with the young people in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And check her out. Go online to Sanjay, Sanjay-Aiti.org, and make a contribution. Support what she's doing. She deserves to be supported. Believe me. She deserves to be supported. Yeah. So, what am I looking for? This is what I'm looking for. Mama Nia. That's right. This Saturday, family. This Saturday here in Atlanta and at the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia will have a birthday and pre-retirement fellowship. Join us as Sister Mama Nia's Solar Return Day and Pre-Retirement Fellowship. Come and share your stories and offerings of love. Believe me, Mama Nia deserves them. Good sister. This Saturday, August 9th, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Shay, Mama Nia. Also, Akabin House and Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, they have online courses, 4-week online courses. The one that's happening now is Menticide, August 6th to the 27th. August 6th to the 27th, every Wednesday. Classes every Wednesday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday. All right. Save the date, African Warriors Day. Saturday, September 20th, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Save the date. More information will be forthcoming. African Warriors Day. Save the date. Akabin's annual fundraiser, October 25th. Akabin's annual fundraiser. Save the date. Annual Kibuka event, Kibuka. A time to remember the Ma'afa, the middle patches through the eyes of our ancestors. Saturday, November 15th. Saturday, November 15th. A word to the wise. Now is the time to buy any African books, DVDs, or other media you may not, you may, or other media you may want in your library. Because why? In the near future, these materials may be banned. Remember to buy us. Be African. Do African. Buy African. Remember that. That's right. It may be banned. Please support Akabin House. Akabin House is where you can get all the materials, the DVDs, CDs, books, all of that to support Mama Yah and Baba Baruti. Oh, yes, these are some of the courses that Baba Baruti and Mama Yah and the lectures that they have presented to our people, African Warrior Scholars, Asafo, Clarity, Complementarity, Eurasian, Excuses, Womanhood, Manhood, Menticide, Message to the Warriors, Racism and Culture, The Sex Imperative, Class Lectures, and so forth. African Center Education and Complementarity. This is what the Baba Baruti and Mama Yah provide for our community. It is sound. All right, brothers and sisters, let's get going with this program today. Okay, of course, right after I do something like this, what I do? That's right, I go to the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 3rd. What are you saying about yourself when you say that the people you love, look to for love, live with, and have children with are bitches? Penn Black. It is extreme preoccupation with sexual conquest, which is at the root of cheating, which is not a natural inclination among Africans. It is not in our blood. We are neither dogs nor bitches. We are not animals in heat. We are only becoming so because we have lost sight of our traditions and are modeling our sexual appetites after the world's morally uncivilized minority. Predatory sexual behavior is part and parcel of the European sex imperative. It is a mentality which has no place in our tradition. However, it has infected us because we are constantly and systematically bombarded by imagery and definitions promoting a European reality. We become like those who are unable to distinguish right from wrong, or rather, we are learning wrong along with how to make wrong appear right. Our confusion can lead us to no longer see Europeans as abnormal because it causes us to think and act distorted like them, because we are the majority. Once we become abnormal, they become normal. Affirm. There are no animals in our family. Ashe. Affirm. There are no animals in our family. August 4th. Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, which for me, I say, is the greatest rap piece of all times. It is the baddest rap piece of all times. That's me. Rescue me if I'm wrong. Sadly, we must expect dishonesty from some of the individuals we will come in contact with as we attempt to build economic relationships with family. The reasons these Negroes do this there are many, but one is that they see us as dumb suckers, so blindly in love with some mythological, frivolous, bygone Africa that we will blindly sacrifice everything in order for African people to see the truth. Another is that we are taken as overzealous fools who will give others a greater share of our profits so we can keep another African business. Because it is evident that you love African people, Ashe. These falsified Africans, con artists, you see, has an easy target for economic exploitation. Naive charity is seen as a basic characteristic of real grassroots revolutionary by people who do not understand our mission and or who have internalized the Europeans' predatory personality. They're being handcrafted byproducts of this anti-African cultural makes it necessary for us to remain ever mindful of the danger they pose to our solvency, our sanity, and the love of African people. These individuals are not African at heart. If this precaution about them is taken to heart without allowing it to harden our hearts against those who truly want to be African, we will be able to avoid the fool me twice, shame on me, you know, fool me once, shame on me. No, excuse me. Yeah. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. No. Yes, right. It goes like this. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yeah. The shame on me. Fool me twice. Phenomenon that often than not. So no, be aware. Affirm, falsified Africans cannot shake me from building African trust. Falsified Africans cannot shake me from building African trust. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Ashe, oh. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, family, this is Black Africa. Yes, right. And I tell you, this charging cord ain't working too well, damn it. Yeah. Lest we forget. Swahili with Usi Sa Hauso. Usi Sa Hauso. I can't pronounce it that well, but lest we forget, it's a Swahili word. August is also Charlie Parker month, according to the Jazz Showcase in Chicago. Is that right? Charlie Parker month. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. My grandson. The Zion. Proud of that. Proud of my boy. Proud of both of my grandsons. That's right. Yeah. Black August. Like I said, my compliment sent me this on Black August. Of course, I read to you the many things about Black August that took place in the month of August. Let me do this, because this happened in Black August, along with Rinoco Rashidi. His quote, "History is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future." Baba Rinoco Rashidi, my good friend. He was born August 16th, 54. He transitioned August 2nd, 2021. It's been that long now. Wow. Yeah, I can still picture him running across. Not running. Rinoco wasn't running. Walking across the street, and I scared my daughter because I saw him and I yelled. And I know Rinoco. I know that's just a good man. It's a good brother. Been to his home in L.A. Brought him here, Milwaukee. Came to the house a few times. Rinoco's a good dude. Took him. Me and him went out. Had a few drinks. Brother Rinoco Rashidi. Always be a part of Black August. History is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to future. Ashe. Also, I believe that the Baba transition this month as well. I got to research that. I believe Asa Hilliard transitioned this month. So when I get a chance, I'll try to pull that up. But of course, Friday was August 1st, which is the beginning of August 1st, of course, and that is Emancipation Day for the islands in the Caribbean. Antigua, Barbados, Barbuda, the Bahamas, Belize, Bermuda, British Isles, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts, Nevis, Trinidad and Tobago, and Canada. For those Africans, Liberation Day, Emancipation Day, rather. The second, Chukwuma Lumumba's birthday. And then on the 4th today, Debbie Sims, Africa of Move, is born on this day in 56. Debbie Sims, Africa of the Move organization in Philadelphia. Today also Thomas Sankara's birthday. That's right, and Pan-Africanist. He's named president of Burkina Faso. It's not his birthday, but he was named president in Burkina Faso in 83, and of course was betrayed and killed. Thomas Sankara. Nelson Mandela was arrested and imprisoned in 1962 on the 5th. Also on the 5th, the Montgomery River Brawl, y'all. The Montgomery River Brawl took place in 2023 in Montgomery, Alabama. And there's good video on it. That's right. That's right. August 8th, new African revolutionary Mutula Shakur was born in 1950. August 8th, 1950, and he passed July 7th, 23. August 9th, Mike Brown is killed by white officers in Ferguson, Missouri, sparking the Ferguson uprising in 2014. August 10th, the Attica Prison Rebellion of 71 is frequently invoked and commemorated as part of Black August, as it was key moment in the radical prison movement. The Attica. August 11th, Watts Riot, also known as the Watts Uprising, August 11th through the 16th in 1965. And as I mentioned, 7 years later, 1972, Stack Records, Isaac Hayes and Rufus Thomas, Carla Thomas, the Bar Kays, and so many others came to L.A., to the Coliseum, to put on a concert to commemorate the uprising 7 years later. The documentary Watts Stack. If you don't have it, you got to get it. Go to YouTube. Watts Stack. My favorite. And I ain't kidding. It can be emotional for me, y'all. For real. August 12th. Hugo Pinel, he was born on March 10th, 1994, and he died August 12th of the Sam Quentin. He was one of the Sam Quentin Six. Who were involved in the attempted prison break to liberate George Jackson in 71. And he is killed as a security state officer in 2015. August 14th. Boys, Kiman, voodoo ceremony that would lead to the first large-scale uprising of enslaved Africans in Saint-Domingue and sparked the Haitian Revolution. August 17th, the birth of Pan-Africanist leader Marcus Mosiah Garvey. August 17th, 1887, he transitioned June 10th, 1940 in London. August 21st, beginning of Nat Turner's Rebellion. August 21st to the 23rd, 1831. August 21st, the death of George Jackson. September 23rd, 1941. August 21st, 1971, in Sam Quentin Prison. August 27th, the Haitian Revolution, 1791. August 23rd, uprising of enslaved Africans in Saint-Domingue, beginning of the Haitian Revolution and commemorated by UNESCO as the International Day of Remembrance of the Slave Trade and its Abolition. August 28th, Emmett Till, age 14. He was born July 25th, 41, and he perished August 28th. He was murdered. He was assassinated. He was hung. 1955. He was abducted, tortured, and lynched. You mean he had that ceiling fan around his neck, threw into the water? August 30th, Gabriel's Rebellion, a planned rebellion of enslaved persons in Richmond, Virginia, 1800. August 30th, the birth of Fred Hampton. August 30, 1948. He was killed. December 4th, 1969, who was a deputy chair of the Black Panther Party at the time of his assassination by the United States government and the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. August 12th. I mean, August 30th. Black August, family. Black August. Yeah. Here we go. On Black August, a Sudanese proverb, we desire to bequeath two things to our children. The first one is roots. The other one is wings. Beautiful proverb, the Sudanese proverb. Root them in knowledge of themselves, but also give them wings so they can soar, so they can fly. August is known for back to school efforts and for liberation, particularly where liberation is promoted in a movement known as Black August. Some might be asking, what is Black August? And I'm glad for that question, because Black August is a month-long commemoration of Black freedom struggles and sacrifices of Black freedom struggles and soldiers, the freedom soldiers like George Jackson and his brother, Jonathan Jackson, Nani of the Jamaican Maroons, Nani, Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner, Amy Ashworth Garvey. This commemoration began in the 1970s in the California penal system as a way to remember the sacrifices of Black political prisoners, particularly Jonathan and George Jackson. A comrade of the revolutionary organization, George Jackson, Doc Holliday, who is a long-distance freedom soldier, said, Black August asserts that it is only natural for each generation of new Africans faced with the task to liberate the nation to draw strength and encouragement from each generation of new African warriors that preceded them. It is from such a rich heritage of resistance that Black August developed, committed to continuing the legacy of resistance, vowing to respond to the call for the destruction of colonial oppression with our George Jackson, Malcolm X, and Fred Hampton. Black August attempts to place struggle and sacrifice at the center stage. In this respect, Black August summons all progressive people who identify with a legacy of resistance to colonial oppression to actively participate in Black August. Thus, during the entire month of August, in commemoration of those Africans who have made the supreme sacrifice for the cause of African liberation and reflect upon the significance of those contributions, many observers of Black August call for a release of all political prisoners today, as well for the one to engage in study, fasting, training, as well as fighting for Black liberation. Lifting up commemorations like Black August seem critical as Black people globally confront the forces of backwardness and oppression at home and abroad. Sorry about that, folks. Oh. Similarly, many see the interconnectedness of the global liberation struggle, where many are rallying around the plight of our Palestinian brothers and sisters right now, particularly given the brutal assault, which is horrifically unfolding right before the world's eyes in real time. So I implore readers to consider to work for the Jewish Voice for Peace, or to learn what one can do or consider supporting boycotts, divestment, and sanction movements or liberation efforts. Further, in reflecting on liberation, we can take some lessons in emancipatory actions from comrades like George Jackson, aka the Dragon, who was a black freedom soldier who at the age of 18 years old was sentenced to 1 year to life for stealing $70 and was educated, politicized while being incarcerated. He organized against the inhumane prison conditions, connected it to the exploitation and oppression of oppressed people by the capitalist system, and went on to become an influential revolutionary leader who wrote popular books, Soul Dad Brothers and Blood in My Eyes. George Jackson was killed by prison authorities in the alleged San Quentin prison escape. These type of stories are important to understand our freedom struggle, lest we forget, which is what, I can't pronounce it, but Yusu means, and why our organizations have been posting monthly cultural reflections. This is critical because we do not tell our story, and then how will our children know of our struggle and triumphs if we don't tell our story and keep it in the forefront? I'm not talking about made up stuff. I'm talking about damn fairy tales. I'm talking about the real deal, the story behind what has happened to African people and what is happening to African people. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey once said, "A people without knowledge of their past is like a tree without roots." What happens to a tree without roots, family? That's right, it'll die. It's not anchored in the soil. It's not given the things that it needs to continue to develop and grow like us. We need to continue to get information and knowledge. We need to continue to be inspired. So, as the Sudanese proverb talks about roots, it is imperative to tell stories of our people's sacrifice to our children, particularly to those who helped to advance the cause of justice for our people. And in this way, our children's wings, that's right, they give them wings, as discussed in the opening Sudanese proverb, can be strengthened to allow them to soar. Uhuru, or freedom, is Black August. It's the Black August call. Freedom is the Black August call. Ashe, ashe, asheo. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'll tell you. Yeah. I'm going to come, we come back from the break. I'm going to go to Identity, once again, Baba Baruti's book, and re-Africanization. We need to re-Africanize ourselves. We need re-Africanization. We need to begin to stand strong and stand tall collectively, because that is the only way for African people. It is collective. That's right. We're not a individualistic people. Look at our history. We're not. Look at our ancient history. Look at our classical periods. Look at our struggles of contemporary and today. We are a collective people. And we need to understand the importance of organizing, of the importance of standing up, taking responsibility, shared responsibility. We must understand it is incumbent upon us to do this. Black August is a good day. It's a good month because of all the things that happened this month to many people. people that we admire and respect and love, and the struggles that they endured, that we must take up if we're going to get ourselves out of this muck and mire. You know, I look at Black Caucus from a serious liberating standpoint, not just to petition grievances and so forth, and hope that the system will somehow see them and understand them and will, you know, we'll give you some money. We'll give you a job or two, you know. Well, I don't think that's happening, because in this world today, in the age of Trump, no, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. The people who are promoting this situation and come to this understanding that we gave you all these advantages. Some of you took advantage of them. Most of you did not. So it's over. All the social things that you have, unfortunately, are a victim of, so be it. Because once again, it's back to how we do things. Every man and woman and child for themselves. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. It's back to what it's always been. Sometimes it lays dormant a little bit, so other programs, other things, other initiatives happen. But at the very root of this madness, individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So, you know what? I just thought about that, because I just thought about Dr. King when he talked about the three things: militarism and racism, militarism and finance. But at the March on Washington was in August, Black August. Yeah, the March on Washington. Yeah, we need to learn more. Pick something out, situation out that I just gave you of the calendar days. Look more deeply into it. Understand how those brothers and sisters were able to do everything that they could to make sure. Mm-mm. Yeah, come up on a break, family. I just want to let you know. I know I sound kind of melancholy when I use that term, but it's tough, family. It really is. It really is. I'm optimistic. I always am. I always have to be, I believe. You know. But these are some trying times. These are some trying times. And there's some good brothers and sisters who was dealing with all of this madness. And I appreciate them. Respect them and love them for all that they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about re-Africanization. Kind of fits what we're talking about here, because what Black August should be pointing us towards is what? Re-Africanization. Everything that we should be about is to re-Africanize ourselves, because it's best for us. It is who we are. It's what we're about. It is our core. Yeah. So, You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take this break. Music, we'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Hancock. That's right. Hang up your hang-ups. That's right. Hang them up. Hang up your hang-ups. Yeah, Herbie Hancock. You're listening to African Perspectives, and I'm going to take a call. Yeah. Good afternoon, Brother Lusk. How are you, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, Bubba Oshie. How you feeling today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well on this fourth day of Black August. Yeah.
Oh, wow. A lot going on in, the in this month, man. I tell you, I just have to kind of chuckle a little bit. Of course, tomorrow is the anniversary of the Montgomery Brawl, right?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah. Daddy Brawl
was,
here.
Yeah. which was very instrumental in terms of. In providing entertainment along with a perspective for us, man. That was deep, man. I swear.
Yeah. So it's interesting. But you know what? I'm glad I got on when I did. I didn't know what you were referring to or talking about in the first hour, but I'm just kind of curious where you are in the area that you're in. What kind of relationships do you have or has been developed with people of African, natural African descent that are in the area where you are at all?
No, not really. Not where I am. When there are activities happening from a cultural standpoint, there are Africans that do come out to the Shrine of the Black Madonna. I know they're going to have something there, particularly for Marcus Garvey Day. Then there's other events, but not so much, you know. But there are a lot of Africans here, you know, from various countries. So, yeah.
Well, which begs the question, that's why I have to ask. I'm kind of curious to know the kind and type of connection that that Africans have with African Americans, right?
Mm-hmm, right?
And I'm just kind of curious to know with regards to if you've ever had a chance to talk with those guys, to kind of ask them how, before they came across the pond,
mm-hmm.
how did they view us when they came over here? Or how have they been taught? What has been said to them?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they come over and it's a completely either the same or something totally different. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wonder,
unfortunately what I look at, particularly for Africans who they feel fortunately to get out of Africa and to come to the States or to come to Europe, you know, and to a different situation. And of course, many Africans have been taught that Africans here in America is just like when we came from here to what is now Liberia. The Africans on the continent felt that they were better because they'd never been enslaved, but they were colonized. And we felt that we're better because even though we have been enslaved, but we have some culturalizations that the European had. So we're a little bit, you know, all this foolishness and all these divisions that further divided us and prevented us from coming together. You know, because one thing that the European knows, Urugu or Caucasian or crack whatever, knows that within unity there's strength. And within that unity, the strength to overcome all of this madness, all of this menticide, all of these physical things that prevent us from unifying and working together to control what we have, you know. And so they recognize that can't happen. And so that's why the religion, the Christianity, you know, because Christianity is not a unifying religion, you know.
Right, right.
It's not, and unfortunately, nor is Islam for us. You know, the only thing that can unify Africans is the spirituality of knowing that you're an African person, and that you and your brother are one and sister are one. But see, that's not happening, because when you have a religion that speaks to you individually, that you can, you know, get yours together. That's why when some people say, well, how you doing? Wow, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, yeah? Oh, you're blessed and highly favored. The community's going to hell. Your family's in disarray. But your ass is blessed and highly favored. Why? Because you chose Christianity. You believe that Jesus is God, and you believe that Jesus shows you favor. You know? It's a lot of madness. And so many of the Africans that do come here have been infected by that, you know.
Okay.
And that's why some of the Africans want to go back. Yeah.
I heard that. Well, it's just interesting, and mm-hmm. and there are several pockets of those who are from Nigeria here in this part of the country. It's just kind of curious to try to engage in conversation or discussion, mm-hmm. but it gets limited, right? And so I'm just kind of. Not that I developed any kind of complex over it, but I just kind of wonder what have they been taught? What right. have they been exposed to? And now that they've come over here, just, you know, is it, would we be doing the same thing if we went to Liberia, right?
Right.
And the kinds of, because I don't know anyone who has ever gone there or talked about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of wonder what was life like for those who were once enslaved to have expatriated to go over there, right?
Yeah. Well, going to Liberia was more suited for many of the, with the mindset of what we had experienced. So going there as opposed to going to Nigeria or even Ghana, you know, any other African country, particularly because it was set up by the United States. English was the language, the monetary system, all of it, its governance was all set up. So, you know, you were just really going from a American environment to an African environment that was American, you know, and how it operated, you know. And once again, because what does America do? It sows the seeds of discourse. It keeps you at each other. And so those brothers and sisters believed that they were better than the Africans there.
Okay.
Because they had been exposed for hundreds of years to the system that America, you know, perpetuates. And the Africans there believed that they were better because they weren't enslaved. And so it
gets to be complex back and forth and back mm-hmm. and forth. And I think it's going with this, but you know, especially here in America, we don't talk very much about the British occupation, or, you know, of course the work mm-hmm. with King Leopold or mm-hmm. Cecil Rhodes, the kind of devastation that they pulled. Right.
Yeah.
So you say, well, you know, is there eventually a time where we could sit at a table of conversation and be able to discuss, well, look at what happened to us. Well, look at what happened to y'all. Look at what, and so we kind of just from different angles and things of that nature.
Right.
So, but I thought maybe I could try to get into a conversation with a young lady that I had a chance to meet here, but that didn't quite
work out. It didn't work
out well. So I didn't want to push it any further and stuff. So I mean, we didn't really quite know each other, but I just kind of put it on the table just to see.
It's interesting to talk. Yeah. It's interesting to talk to Africans who are here, who come here, as well as when you go there. You know, I was fortunate to talk to a number of Africans that were African-centered, that understood, you know, me. I guess maybe it's part of my algorithms. But I just gravitated to some Africans that were, you know, who understood that this situation is not good and who believed in Kwame Nkrumah, because I'm in Ghana, you know. And they understood what Kwame Nkrumah was about. It was not about Ghana. It ain't about Ghana. It's about Africa. It ain't about Nigeria. It ain't about Senegal. It ain't about whatever. It's about Africa. See? And so that was some good conversation, particularly one man, that young man that really impressed me that back then. This was like 96, and I think I went back again in 98 and a few more times. I've been about five times to Ghana, particularly my good friend Jim Wimbush, and had good conversations and good treatment. You know, I think, in fact, when somebody asks if I'm going to Africa, where should I go? Well, I feel you should go to Ghana first, but there's other places. You know, I'm going to go to Tanzania, you know, go to Kenya, you know. I don't know about Nigeria, but Nigeria is one of the, you know, best places that where a lot of Africans are very, but yet there's some stupid shit that goes on there, man. That is unbelievable and some corrupt, you know. In fact, Brother Mickey Dean of the National Black United Front, he sent me a piece.
Right.
I was going to play that. I might play that Wednesday on Shell Oil and the history of Shell Oil and what Shell Oil has done in Nigeria. But, you know, because of our lack of unity, man, because of our lack of ability to kick tribalism to some degree to a curb and think as one Africa, All the things that are that have happened to us in these various countries would not have happened had we fought in that way. But because you have some Africans who are very individualistic and very materialistic, and these individuals, you know, who have been in power and been in positions for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of graft, of corruption, you know, and these entities that go in there know they can buy these people off, keep these people at bay. And then when, I mean, what Europeans have done to us is a damn shame. It's a damn shame. But yet some may argue, well, you allowed it to happen to some degree. Yes. You know, but still, the destruction of our land, the destruction of our, I mean, with Shell Oil, you know, and I know, Shell Oil provided South Africa. Well, of course they did, you know, the Dutch company, you know, cause that's what's happening in South Africa. A lot of Dutch, you know,
right.
And so I never bought Shell Oil since that time, since the South Africa piece. So now that was about 40 years now because of the 80s, you know. And then, but then when I look at this piece that I just saw, I can see why, and it just further my anger. You know, it's a damn shame. But I might play that piece on Wednesday, man. Yeah.
I'll be interested in listening to that. But again, thank you for picking my call as well. I mean, we're in that month.
Yeah.
The eighth month of the year. August, Black August, right? Mm-hmm. There's just so much that has transpired as it pertains to our people, and most particularly at the end of this month, I have to pull a cord on that with being August 29th, the 20-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina and the devastation that has caused. So a lot has transpired.
Yeah, because that's not in that lineup, because Hurricane Katrina they don't have that in, you know, August 28th, Emmett Till, August 29th. They don't have that because they go from the 28th to.
I got you. Yeah. Well, very good.
As always, the 30th.
Still listening, brother. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Brother Lusk.
We'll be on the line.
All right, brother. Peace. Appreciate you.
Peace.
All right. Good afternoon, Brother Irv. How you doing?
Baba Oshi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, my brother. Good.
Yeah, brother, this is a very significant month. This is August.
That's right.
Brother, and August, and I'm listening to you, and I'm learning. I'm learning so much. I when you said something, it really hit a nerve with me. The whole Shell Oil Company has been a colonizing entity in Africa
for a long time.
For over 100 years, I would say. Yeah. And if I'm wrong, please, I will stand corrected. But they've been behind that company, and many others like them have been behind the colonialism, the colonization of Africa for years. And that in itself is something that these Caucasians will never atone for. Mm-hmm. They will never, ever say, we're sorry for what we did, or the last bastions of colonization. I mean, physical colonization is still in Africa now.
Yeah.
It's not just in the mind. It's in the, once you take the mind, you have the conversations, you say, and they're acting, they're mimicking the Caucasians that have come and colonized them. And I've seen that here, the mimicking of the Caucasian. When I did something that was, like I told you this before, when we were at the Dodgers baseball game, someone wanted me to go out, and I'm not really a big Dodger fan, but went to the game and they stood up for the national anthem.
Okay.
And something is small. It appears to be small to other people, but to me, this is huge to stand up and succumb or to give into the symbolism of a country that has done so many things to people who look like you.
That's for
and
sure.
And people who claim to be African descent.
Yeah.
And you stand up and put your hand over your heart, which is the one organ in your body that if it stops you, you die.
That's right.
And you stand there and you want to blend in with these Caucasians, and they just as happy And I didn't. I sat there, and I didn't even look up. I didn't even look up. And I'm about to, it takes a lot. Because when you are walking, when you're walking in right, you're usually walking by yourself. You're usually walking by yourself. You look around, and all them, all those talking heads, all those pontificators, we're going to fight for this, and we're going to fight for that. You get to that, that Dodger game, and you stand up with your hand over your heart singing the Star Spangled Banner. And glad to be doing it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be looked at as a troublemaker. You don't want to be looked at as someone who's not grateful for what these Caucasians have done for you in this country. Because, Baba Oshi, we live a good, America's great. We live a good life. But I saw a map the other day of all the countries that are supporting Palestine as being a state. And the United States is not on that. It's not one of those countries. I'm like, are you serious? They and they're condoning the genocide in my lifetime.
Right.
But, you know, we never talk about the genocide and the Holocaust that happened to American Africans because that takes second place to the Jewish Holocaust because that one was in, well, in living color.
But see, that they think that when you even use that word, it's automatically associated with European Jews. See, when you use the word genocide or when you were when you use the word Holocaust. Both of those things could easily apply to African people, you know, because even though they have a word, the European Jews, that Shoah, they have a word, but they co-opted those words because those are the words that you easily identify and they put their face on it. You know, there were some people have a problem saying the African Holocaust, you know, that's because, you know, see, that's the point. Sometimes when you co-opt stuff like that, when you put that word, there's a label on that word, and that label is European Jew or Native American or whatever. And that's what happens.
No, you're absolutely correct, Bob, because and then when it comes to the teachings and the media, which are not owned by American Africans, they reinforce that. They reiterate that. They keep it. They keep it in the forefront of your brain because the brain is so easily manipulated, Baba Oshi. And I didn't know that you can be so co-opted so easily.
Yeah.
But the reality is, Baba Oshi, it's done through repetition.
Yeah.
Everything is done through repetition. Everything is over and over again until you succumb.
Sure. Another thing, Brother Irv, is that who owns these entities? Who runs these? Who implements them? European Jews. They were dominant in the movie industry. Still, they dominate in media. Still, you know, there's so many areas of life that European Jews are heavily involved in. And so, therefore, even though that word could easily apply to your condition and to your situation, but that word is reserved. And the impact of that word is reserved for them.
You're absolutely right, Baba Oshi. Mm-hmm. And to bring this back, and to bring this all the way home to our liberation, our sovereignty, the revolution that is going on right now, the pushing out of the European French people out of these African countries, and at the same time you see other people like in Congo embracing the United States to come and solve their problems.
Yeah.
This is how John Henry Clark told us that Africa got in trouble in the first place, asking these Caucasians to come and mediate our differences. When did you decide to have some Caucasian
come into your home and solve your problem? Yes.
Man, take your ass home and solve your own problem.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the difference between a revolution and a coup. What's the difference? Let's have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Burkina Faso is having a revolution. But the white man think Burkina Faso is having a coup.
Mm-hmm.
When you see ECOWAS talking about a coup, it's not a coup. Eventually, Baba Oshi, the people who are suppressing Africans in the continent and here, they're going to either get tired or we're going to move them out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is going to happen? I believe we should move them. I believe us waiting until they're not going to get tired. They rejuvenate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they take pleasure. They take pleasure in dominating people because this has been Caucasian's MO ever since I've been reading about white people. They've always wanted to dominate. They've always wanted to see someone else crawl.
And it's part of, right, and because it's part of their evolutionary development. That's the thing that many of us don't understand, that mm-hmm. Why do they behave this way? You have to understand mm-hmm. how they developed. You got to look at what Shikanta Dajop said, the two cradle theory of human development. There's a northern cradle mm-hmm. and a southern cradle. They're the northern cradle. That cradle is xenophobic and fearful of others. The southern cradle is xenophilic. We welcomed others. We welcomed people and we shared. They don't, because of the scarcity and because of the harsh environment that it is, causes you to behave in certain ways. And that's how they are, you know. So, but yeah, I'm going to read this piece on re-Africanization. And I want you to give some perspective on that. Because that's really where we are, Brother Irv. We need to re-Africanize, you know?
Yes.
We need to look at this this piece here, because that's where we need to go back to.
Brother Oshie, let me say this
sure.
really quickly before you go to that piece.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I were in the fire department,
mm-hmm.
we both were emergency medical technicians,
right.
called EMTs.
Right.
And every year, the EMT had to have a refresher.
That's right.
Didn't they?
That's right. You got a refresher year, every year.
They call everybody down there. Mm-hmm. They tell you about taking vitals and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And you got the refresher.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have a refresher on the on the African mindset?
Ashe.
Why don't we yeah. go over the principles of being African, mm-hmm. the principles of the mindset? And that's repetition. And what yeah. does repetition do?
It strengthens
you. Learn things. Right. Well, no, Baba Oshie, I want to hear mm-hmm. that. Let's do that. I want to hear that. Please.
All right, my brother. All right. Appreciate you, brother.
Yes, I'm listening.
Right on.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Re-Africanization from Baba Baruti's Identity. Re-Africanization. This is what we must do. Africans in search of a true re-Africanization do not seek a partial or a compromised return to our way. No, we don't. It's full. We seek a full, unqualified return to the nurturing spirit, the consciousness, the genius, and the humanity of our ancestors. This is the path we choose to follow, no matter how difficult or impossible it may seem to those whose vision has been limited by a conditioned inability to recognize that nothing is impossible for the African mind, the African genius, nothing. Some lost to the suffocating identityless oblivion of the vanquishment hold their hands over their ears and scream to the heavens that we are gasping at impossibilities. But we know that the vision of a victorious people is never small. We know that there are no limits to the African genius. We know the stars. Again, as the prefix re implies, re-Africanization is a return home in thought, word, and deed. It is the re-becoming of what we already are, but which we have lost sight of due to circumstances beyond our control and often memory. Through the process of re-Africanization, we rise above those hateful forces set in motion, which compels us to voluntarily deny ourselves. As Kwame Eji and Akua Okotu inform us, re-Africanization is the recovery, definition, and revitalization of the African reality and our way of being. Therefore, re-Africanization is a healing process because through it, we return home. We return home. Re-Africanization is the process by which we Africans deliberately restore our consciousness. It involves the unrelenting struggle to embrace an uncontaminated Sankofian return to our cultural roots. And it is a righteous, beautiful struggle which only comes about as a result of a serious, lifelong submersion into the study of our ancestral way and an evolving, practical, applied rebirth within. Furthermore, re-Africanization is a process whereby our thinking is elevated to the height of self-knowledge, where the true state of Pan-African nationalist socialism can come into an existence of its own volition. Through it, we understand our nature and why our unique human civilized way as a people originally developed and unfolded as it did. Nothing, notwithstanding its symbiotic relationship with nation building, re-Africanization should be considered as more of the thinking and meditative aspect of our return home. So while thought and the words which give it life necessarily implies action in the African worldview, the greater balance in re-Africanization favors study and contemplation. Still, through this, partiality is not at the expense of actually creating the instruments and mechanisms out of which a sovereign nation is built. Again, of course, without a philosophical foundation and matching working vocabulary, nothing of lasting quality will stand alone in the face of conceptually sound, evasive enemies. No less important or cerebral, through nation building is more of the actual implementation and realization of that thought. Nation building. Still, as some might rightfully say, they're inseparable concepts. Both involve thought and action. They both involve thought and action. It's to know, for true Africans, it is action. Re-Africanization then occurs within the framework of Sankofa. Our Sankofian return occurs when remembrance is facilitated through looking back to our traditions only and all they entail in order to define ourselves and our actions in the here and now. Without this, we remain unable to gather within that spectacular effort needed to create out of the mores of chaos a reality and future more fitting to who we are as a people. It is the actualization of our return to our center of gravity, our cultural and spiritual mother, our beating heart, Dr. John Henry Clark. For in no other way can we become who we are except through spirituality and mentally becoming our ancestors. Spiritually and mentally becoming our ancestors. Since part of re-Africanization process is reclaiming our native tongue, we should also reintroduce the Akan term, Owija, here. In simplest terms, Owija, well, I can't get the pronunciation correct, but it means purification and is most appropriate description for the process of re-Africanization. For re-Africanization is a full cleansing of the soul, mind, and body. It is a conscious effort to remove what does not belong and bring back what was wrongfully displaced. Within the re-Africanization process, balance is restored through a burning way of using, of useless. It's a burning away of the useless, retarding European cultural domination to expose the timeless gold, the African spirit, and the African culture. Re-Africanization is the method whereby we submerge ourselves into and submit our consciousness to the will and way of those who initiated and lived our personal and genocultural lineage. It is a psychological return to the source of the spiritual and physical truth of who we are. It is again to become African. Moreover, re-Africanization occurs when we take what was a learning thought, this submersion and submission into triple blackness, and begin to apply it to ourselves in an effort to change ourselves from that which we have been forced to imitate and exaggerate into our true selves, into our ancestors. It is a process fraught with difficulty and hardship because our mental side is extensively rooted in Eurasian. In Eurasian being a highly effective extension and defense mechanism of Urugu, logically binds everything we have menticidally come to believe with a reality which moves in opposite to our spirit and which through alien and anti-African has come to be accepted as logical, rational, and desirable. The anti-African crusade coming from without and within assaults us from every possible angle and in virtually every thought to the point where it is oftentimes overwhelming. But once we know we are African, once we know we are not European, nothing Eurasian brings can stop us from being who we are. Ultimately, re-Africanization is how we raise into our African selves. Through it, we begin the conscious collective process of changing our personal, family, and communal environments to match our growing awareness of how an African world would and should feel for us in overcoming this harsh, despiritualized time and place. As we think as Africans, we are. We become the Africans we have always been. Re-Africanization is a personal transformation. It is a return to self. We actually become our ancestors. With time and the evaluation of significant numbers of Africans into consciousness, it becomes a communal and then a global national transformation. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, from Baba Baruch's book, Identity, Re-Africanization, a process that we must go through. Re-Africanization. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, what we have gone through and what we continue to go through is because the job put on us. Because you're bombarded. You're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of who you are not, of your inferiority or your lack of inability. You're bombarded. Let me get Brother Paul in this, Brother Irv. I'm going to get back to you, okay? Thank you. Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Grand Rising, good afternoon. Good day to you, Baba Ochi. And how are you today?
I am doing fine, my dear brother. I am well. Yep.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And I have to give thanks for everything and give thanks for your time and cooperation and everything else, Baba Ochi. Give
Thank
thanks
you.
To your parents.
Thank
Give
you.
Give thanks for your life. Give thanks to life.
Ashe. Appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. I give thanks to the ability to wake up every morning. I don't take it for granted. In fact, each day that you do wake up, you should decide to do something. Whatever that might be. And in fact, if it is for you to lay in bed, maybe that's what you need to do. But if you need to do things and things have to get done, you got to get up and do it. You know? It's important that we get things done. That's the thing, you know, because what we're talking about, it's not going to happen by osmosis. You know, it's going to happen because as one of the pieces that I read in that re-Africanization is action. Action. We got to put things in serious motion. We have to act on them. We can talk all we want, but until we put physical action, then the transformation happens. I love the Sahel. I love what Burkina Faso, Niger, and Chad are doing, because they're doing it in real time. They ain't talking about it. They are doing it. You know, they are expressing serious need to have it done now. This is not future work. This is work now, because the assault by the European on Africa, the ongoing assault, and it has been hundreds of years, is still going. I read the other day a piece where France is begging Burkina Faso, Niger, you know, and them just begging them, please take us back. Because one thing that is for sure, that France relied on Africa heavily. When everybody else was, you know, getting out, so to speak, and had robbed Africa of some of its resources, because what's interesting is that Africa still has more resources, mineral resources and so forth, than any other country still today, after hundreds of years of being robbed and plundered and pillaged, it still has it. And to me, that signifies to us, damn it, kick these son of a bitches out. Nigeria, kick them out. Kenya, kick them out. Tanzania, South Africa, come together and kick them crackers out. All of this is ours. Brothers and sisters, come up into the north of Egypt, Algeria, Liberia, Mauritania, Morocco, and kick their ass out. The continent of Madagascar, kick his ass out. All of that is ours. It is ours without a damn person saying anything about it. It's not like, you know, when you, like the European, he's come to some place and now he has it and their idea of, I have possession. So that's 9/10 of the law. I have possession of it. Damn how I got it. But I have possession of it. You know, none of that area, none of that land is yours. None of those resources are yours. None of the things that it can provide is going to be yours. Everything must be for the benefit of us as African people. And it's not a person. It's not a small group. It ain't no little clan group. No, it's for African people, period. And if we're not moving in that direction.
You know, Baba.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Baba Oji. You know, a lot of things you said today and it sparked my mind, and I want to address some of the things you said and just the statement you make and try and wrap it up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you mentioned Nanny of the Maroons. That's one of the things you mentioned.
Sure.
And that's an interesting concept because I had to learn that and africate myself about what that was really about.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, Nanny of the Nanny was she emanated
from Ghana.
From Ghana.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you see, as well, what I learned as well, the word maroon is a Spanish word meaning runaway cattle. It's a very derogatory word to be used to describe a people. And as you rightfully say, you talk about rather than use the word mentor, you use the word Jedna.
Right.
I suggest that we get rid of the word.
I do too.
Because
I do too.
Yeah, because most people do. I've even heard a brother who comes on the Carl Nelson show talk about maroons, and but maroons is a very derogatory. I mean,
okay.
who are you describing as runaway cattle? You understand, or wild cattle? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's wrong. So there again, we do need to check. This language is not ours. And
right.
We cannot keep casting spells on ourselves and using derogatory language to describe ourselves and have other people who overstand these things laughing at us. So, yeah, Nanny of the Maroons from that region went up in the hills and cast a rebellion, and she fought against the British, who had control of that place at the time.
At the time,
she had two brothers, and they ended up forming a treaty with the British not to go down and run raids on the plantations. And in return for capturing also runaway enslaved Africans.
Right.
Now
I hated that part.
That's the conflict.
Brother Paul, I am sincerely, because I mean, I read that history too. I'm look, you know, to me, if I got to do what I'm doing here, I got to know something, right?
Baba Ochi, you know a great deal, Baba Ochi, and the point in this show is that we help and help others to understand as well.
Exactly. But the part I agree with you. I totally agree. I remember when I first read it, it angered me, man. You know how they.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked as well. I was very shocked. And on that subject there, what shocked me the most, because I knew about, I shared some information about the great so-called Baptist Rebellion. It was led by a man called Sam Sharp. That's his name, Sam Sharp. Mm-hmm. But I also was told, you know, life is brilliant, man. I met an elder who, I tell you, this elder was so bright. He informed me, he said that apparently he read a book I haven't read this book, but I know what it's about. But it was a book written by one of the plantation owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and this was very interesting to me. He wrote in his diary that that group led by Sam Sharp was using Igbo codes.
Okay.
And he said you'd better be worried. They've always been very frightened of the Igbo. The Igbo are very industrious, very rebellious type people, and a lot of Jamaicans emanate from that lineage, Igbo.
Okay.
Right? But this is what he said. So I didn't know that before this elder gave me this information. I had no idea about that. Yeah. And then I looked into it. I also learned a lot of the words we use in Jamaica are actually Igbo words today. One of the ones I've spoke about is Unu. We say Unu, Unuwa, Unu Muvangowe. So that means Unu is you lot. That is an Igbo word. It means the same today. There's lots of words we use which are Igbo dialect words,
okay,
right? So that tells you that the people people are still among you.
Yes.
Right.
Still influenced.
But, what Sam Sharp, when he ran away, what was painful for me is when he escaped, because he led the rebellion and the authorities, the militias came after him. And he ran to the so-called Maroons. And what they did, they took a machete and chopped him in his arm, chopped his shoulder, and captured him and took him back to the British. That was very painful for me to learn that.
Man.
Understand? Yeah, that actually happened. So what I'm trying to say to you, Baba Ochi, is this. Yeah, because that really connected a lot of dots for me. Because look, we got over Stan here. There are some among us with that spirit today, still today.
Yeah.
It's live, and you know,
yes, it is.
They love their master. You know, the great Amawali, Shabazz, Malcolm X talked about the house nigger and the field nigger,
right?
That's right. And we, you know, I want people to wake up. We still have that spirit among us today.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And it does not matter if they're born in America, Britain, or even on the African continent. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And this is why I want to wrap up some of the things you say, right? Because look, you know, it is a fact that some Africans sold their brothers and sisters into slavery, whether we want to believe that or not. I know it because I've seen the evidence.
Yes.
I absolutely know that happened.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the reason why I know it happened, because I know there's nothing new under the sun. So if you see that behavior today, you know it was going back on then, because these people ain't changed in their blood.
Right.
They will sell you at the drop of a hat. It's in their blood. And you can just test them. You can test them. In actual fact, sometimes when you have a conversation with them, you can just listen to their words very carefully, and you know you better watch your back.
Mm.
So hear what I'm trying to say here, Baba Ochi. We got to be real about it. They're among us today. Mm-hmm. And I call it, we have to do house cleaning.
Right.
House cleaning.
Got to root them out.
Cut out the corners, cut out the corners, and clean up the house.
That's right.
Before we are able to run anybody out of Africa. Because hear what now? Hear what? You see, if we were to make that a reality, our biggest opponent wouldn't be the devils outside of us. It'd be the devils within us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, just like the devils come after our captain, Abraham Traoré, lining up to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
They are the problem among us today.
Yes.
I'm 100 million% concerned. Unfortunately, those who look like us, who have got that sort of temperament, are our problem today.
Mm-hmm.
Not the white man, not all these people, it's them, right?
Yeah.
And if they're hearing me and listening to me, let them know this. I ain't frightened to say the truth, because I will always speak the truth, because their time is coming. It's coming, because we are awoke. And some of us are not scared to do what we have to do. Let it be clear. We will do what we have to do. Not all of us have the temperament of our Captain Abraham Traoré and have so much patience and lining and whatever and just, no, not all of us have that.
No.
We will just do what we have to do comfortably.
Right.
Yeah,
if you were found out, if you were found out being a traitor, if you were found out being a subversive, no, we're going to deal with you ASAP.
That time, that has to be paramount, because we can't stop pretending like, or because we're all skinfolk or kinfolk.
No.
Because some of us are diem total a problem. Okay? That it's in their blood.
Yeah.
You can't change them by application. You can't change them by talk. You have to change them by getting rid of the virus.
Right.
Okay. Ashe. That's the problem. So, Ashe. You know, based on some of the things you're saying, that's some of the thoughts will come to mind. That's the reality of mm-hmm. our situation. Before we go forward and run these devils out, we have to annihilate or house clean, you know, charity starts at home.
That's right.
That's Ashe. The reality.
Ashe.
You know, so Baba Ochi, you know, you know a lot and you give your time and energy to further the cause, and each one of us, we do our part. We do our part.
Appreciate that.
You know, and
yes.
One thing I want to address what Brother Ted said. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Baba Ted, I want to say something. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was with some Africans very recently from the continent, right, and political minded ones who are really a strong agenda. Yeah.
Okay.
Now the reality of it is this, Baba Ochi. Even in Kwame Nkrumah's time, Kwame Nkrumah had enemies who work with that notorious three-layer agency that emanates out of your place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They work with them to overthrow him. And the reality of it is they are still about.
Yes.
Sometimes when you meet people, because they're from right. Africa, you think they got your mindset.
Right,
no,
they don't.
They're
right.
mm-hmm. right? Or they've got a blueprint for Christianity, which is actually white supremacy.
Yeah.
Or they have a blueprint of the Islam, which is Arab nationality. That's mm-hmm. what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And no one can tell me, because Arabization of your mind or Europeanization of your mind is a fact. Don't tell me about pie in the sky. You've been Arabized or you've been Europeanized.
That's right.
The people you're
That's
dealing with.
That's a fact.
It doesn't matter if they're in America, the UK, or Africa. They've been Arabized or they've been Europeanized. And that's the blueprint for them. So mm-hmm. it doesn't mean they're going to talk like you talk. They're going to talk like they're Arab masters or they're European masters. Mm-hmm. That's it, brother.
Ashe. Heartbreak, Paul. Man, right on. You're right. And that's why I'm always talking about re-Africanization, reacclimation, we've had it before. And if we had it before, we could get it again. But it's going to take a serious effort because we've been so afflicted by the menticidal agenda of these people, a Western thought and Western ideology and their concepts and their way, their religions, their mores, their way they're doing things. It's deeply affected us and hindered our ability to look at each other as brothers and sisters, to look at somebody and to say, hey, I know what is best for us collectively. Let us work together to make it happen. You know, when you talked about all those cats that are in Africa that will turn Ibrahim Traoré in, the same thing that cat, he was Thomas Sankara's right-hand man. Thomas Sankara's right-hand man.
Imagine. And that is a reality we have to face up to.
Yeah.
These people are absolutely treacherous.
Yes.
They may look like me and you, they're in it on the front, but yes. Please trust me, underneath, you even to describe them as the devil is too good. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, they're evil, man. See, I mean, it is very difficult. And I know I talk about that. And I rail against it and I hate it. I hated the fact that we succumb to that because I love the idea of African reality, of an African reality, of African unity, of Africans being able to come together and to support one another, work with one another, build with one another. I love that idea because it has happened. It's not, see, Brother Paul, it's not like it's never happened. It has. But what it must do, it has to happen again. But because we're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of our inability and our inferiority and the fact that these crackers have a vice grip. And you heard me say this many times. That tool, once the vice grip is set, it's very difficult to get that shit off your mind. They bombard you. That's how they want you to think. But more importantly, that's how they want you to act against your best interest, to turn your brother in, your sister, your family in. That's how they want you to be. They want you to help them turn over our resources to them.
Bob Archie, last thing I'm going to say, yeah. in the dialect, you talk about Sankofa. It means going back to the source. It may be difficult, Baba Olchi, and it truly is. But hear what? It's not impossible.
That's right.
And the world is full of possibilities.
Yes,
if you understand the grand dynamic, if one can remove themselves from the constraints of their own programming, everything is possible.
That's right.
Take care.
That's right, my brother. Peace to you, Brother Paul. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, once again, we're at that time. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the Urugu, the cracker, the hunky. I ain't heard about you. When's the last time you heard that word? Them hunkies. The white man is the minds of those they oppressed. But this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Be safe. Hope you come back to be with us again on Wednesday. Peace, family.